Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, The Introduction, Text 64. Etad Kansaya Bhagavan. Kang Kacha Shamsa Bhyeta Bhyetya Nardaha. Pumirbara Imananam. Daityanam cha vadodyamam. Etat. All those words about the Yadu family and Vrishni family. Kangsaya. Unto King Kangsa. Bhagavan. The most powerful representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shamsa informed Kangsa, who was in doubt. Bhyetya, after approaching him. Narada, the great sage Narada, Bhume, on the surface of the earth, Barayamananam, of those who are a burden, Daityanam, Cha, and of the demons, Vada, Udyamam, the endeavor to kill. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once the great sage Narada approached Kangsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons, who were a great burden on the earth, were going to be killed. Thus Kangsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Please repeat. Once. The great sage Narada approached Kangsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons, who are a great burden on the earth, were going to be killed. Thus Kangsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Purport. It has already been discussed that Mother Earth implored Lord Brahma to give her relief from the distress created by the burdensome demons, and that Lord Brahma informed her that Lord Krishna himself was going to appear. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Puritranaya sadunam vinashayatu diskritam dharma samstapanartaya Sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever there is a burden created by the demons, and whenever the innocent devotees are distressed by demonic rulers, the Lord appears in due course of time to kill the demons with the assistance of his real representatives, who are technically called demigods. In the Upanishads, it is stated that the demigods are different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole, it is the duty of Krishna's devotees to serve Krishna as he wants. Krishna's business is to kill the demons, and therefore this should be a devotee's business also. Because the people of Kali Yuga have fallen, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of kindness to them, did not bring any weapon to kill them. Rather, by spreading Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, he wanted to kill their nefarious demonic activities. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unless the demoniac activities on the surface of the earth are diminished or vanquished, no one can be happy. The program for the conditioned soul is fully described in the Bhagavad Gita. And one simply has to follow these instructions to become happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore prescribed Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashdeva, 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 Kanti Anyata. Let people chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. Then their demoniac tendencies will be killed and they'll become first-class devotees, happy in this life and in the next. Once the great sage Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth were going to be killed, thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. From the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, we had Pariksha Maharaj touring this earth, or the world, whatever, and he came upon a Shudra beating on a cow and a bull. And the cow was, I guess the bull was only, bull of religiosity, was only standing on one leg. And the other three legs, which were broken, represented austerity, cleanliness, and well, truthfulness was the only one left, mercy. So the three legs of cleanliness, mercy, and austerity were all broken. And of course, Maharaj Parikshit was about to kill Kali, but Kali asked for mercy. He surrendered to Pariksha Maharaj, and Pariksha Maharaj gave him the place to live where there's gold. So now we have Bhumi in the form of a cow approaching Brahma and explaining about her distress because of the burdensome kings. So this is a sequence. Well, actually, it's kind of inverted, but because this happened before Maharaj Pariksit was there. But still, it's the same theme. So-called kings, who are supposed to be representative of Krishna, Naradevas, were actually demons. And instead of protecting religiosity in the form of a cow or a bull, they were actually trying to destroy religiosity. And this means specifically, they were slaughtering cows and bulls. So this is the root cause of all our suffering, which in modern society, as I've explained before, is actually taken as our happiness, as our advancement. We're actually believing that this technological industrial society is actually advancement. Well, actually, it's degradation. Because the actual purpose of life has been, we've been distracted from the actual purpose of life, which has become Krishna conscious. Instead, we're busily creating, as Krishna says, etam drishtim avashtavya nashtavnaya nabudaya pravatnika karmana shaye jagatohita. Following such conclusions, what's that conclusion? That there is no God. That's the whole point. As soon as one thinks that there's no God and that there's no purpose of life other than to gratify the senses, then all the endeavors will be to create a very complicated situation in order to find the so-called happiness in the material world. And since they've decided that happiness in the material world can be obtained by through animal slaughter, intoxication, illicit sex, and mental speculation, or whatever you want to call it. Playing video games, maybe we can say. Since they believe that this is the path of happiness, they've created so much complication. And therefore, it's very difficult because one's mind is so disturbed by all these complications, to actually hear the simple philosophy of Krishna consciousness. One is more and more covered by, especially, we can see that if you kill, the cow is originally meant to give us food. the cow and the bull. The cow would give milk, and even a stool can be utilized as fertilizer. And the bull would plow the field and also give fertilizer in the form of its stool. And we get whatever nutritious food we needed. Because ultimately, what we really need is food. Computers, big buildings, cars. These are not necessary for human life, for any life. What we really need is good food and clean water and fresh air and nice relationships. But these things have been destroyed. The factories do not provide clean air. When they put all the chemicals into the water doesn't become cleaner. When they plow the earth with tractors and kill all the favorable entities within the earth by crushing them with the tractors and using artificial fertilizer and artificial pesticides, insecticides, and peoplecides in order to grow the food, this is not very productive. It's actually poisoning the earth, poisoning the air, poisoning the water, and poisoning people's minds. And as I've explained, if you kill the cow, you have to get a substitute. And the bull, you need a substitute because you have to plow the land in order to get sufficient food. But in the absence of the cow and bull, you need something like a tractor because people are not sufficiently strong to pull the plow. They need something to plow the earth, and therefore they've invented the tractor. But for the tractor, you need a factory. And for the factory, you need the materials. And to get the materials, you have to create machines to get the materials. And to get the materials from these machines, you have to create other factories to build the machines, to get the materials, to build the tractors. But in order to get the machine, to build the factories, you need energy. So you have to drill into the earth, and you have to get all kinds of oil and gas to run the machines that will build the factories, that will build the machines so you can get the materials to build the factories and the machines. But then after you build the factories and you have these tractors, then you need other machines in order to harvest the earth, to plant the seeds, to harvest the seeds, and then you need some kind of machines where you need actually factories to build all these things, and you need the raw materials. So you need machines to get the raw materials, and then you need even more energy to get to power the machines, to build the machines, to build the factories, to get the raw materials. It's quite a distraction, quite an endeavor just to get some food. Then at the end of the day, after you get the raw materials for the food, you get the grains, and then you have to transport them to a processing place where they manufacture, where they process the food so that they can be, and then it has to be delivered to stores by other machines, and then people have to drive to the stores with other machines, which all require energy and other factories to build these machines, so they can buy the food and go home and eat. And this is called advancement. In other words, the more complicated they make everything, the more they actually believe they're advancing. Now, previously, people could just go outside, throw a few seeds on the ground, pick a few weeds out if they were there, and eat, and get the food and eat. And they consider this primitive, because there's no need for big industry and technology to do it. And what to speak of insecticides or herbicides or anything else that's contaminated the earth and contaminating the water and contaminating the air. So, once you have all these machines and you need all this energy in order to provide the necessary necessities for the people that were you're providing them for, they need armies. Because people will compete for these resources, the oil, the gas, the raw materials. You'll need armies in order to protect your resources or conquer other people's and get their resources in order to provide for the endless need for energy, raw materials, factories, transportation, refineries, etc., etc. So there's endless wars, there's endless contamination, endless sickness, endless disturbance, because people are killing cows and bulls. That's it. But they can't understand that. They think if we tell something like that, we're being primitive. We're being anti-technology, anti-progress. We want to revert to a more primitive lifestyle where people actually breathe fresh air, they drank clean water, they had fresh food, and they lived peacefully with each other. How boring. And all these movies about wars and destruction and horrible activities, there wouldn't be any movies like that. And then people would get bored. They wouldn't know what to do. So originally people would watch dramas and even films about Krishna, the loving pastimes of Krishna, like Ram, yesterday was Lord Ramachandra's appearance day, and there's a very nice film, Sita's Wedding. Did you see Sita's Wedding? Is that a nice film? Sita's Wedding. Oh, well, there's a movie called Sita's Wedding. There were two parts of it. Very beautiful. And Nimai, Neela, Chala, Huilo, Chaitanya. And these were very devotional, beautifully made films. But after some time, because of sinful activities, because of killing animals, and because of their consciousness being covered over, now they never make films like that anymore. It's always knives and guns and blood and gore. And people, this is what they're... Because they become rakshashas, this is what they're accustomed to. This is what they think is entertaining. But by the loud chanting of the holy name, by introducing Krishna back into reality, people's reality, then naturally when they wake up, they'll lose their tastes, especially if you're killing the animals. What to speak of killing their own children. And therefore there can be some progress. Then if one stops killing the animals, one can see and utilizes them, not just stop killing them, but utilizing them productively, then one can see that there's no need for all this complicated society, this complicated technology and industrialization. There's actually no need for it. It's actually destructive. Actually, people in the past, they didn't live in these buildings with all this electricity, and therefore they were quite peaceful. This electricity is just vibrating at such a level as to make our brains scattered all the time. And what to speak of this hi-fi, Wi-Fi, 5G. Now in India they started 6G. So you'll be living in Wi-Fi heaven. Your mind won't be able to think of anything but Wi-Fi. It'll be vibrating in your mind 24 hours a day. So they think this is progress, but actually that's why people have become so crazy. People by nature are not crazy. In other yugas, they weren't so mad and anxiety and disturbed because they didn't have all this electricity. They didn't have all this Wi-Fi. They didn't have all this contamination. So this has actually made people crazy. So by introducing the chanting and a lifestyle which is conducive to spiritual life, gradually society will change. Of course, most of us were too far gone to change. When we think of a cow, we think of something dirty. We wouldn't want to touch the thing because it would get our hands dirty. We think about the earth, we think, oh, how horrible, how primitive, plowing the earth and growing things. And so we're just too far gone. But anyhow, if we loudly chant Hare Krishna, then gradually our brains will become purified and we'll be able to at least appreciate the wonderful system of economics, that's the Vedic economics, and we'll be able to appreciate the goal of life, which is spiritual consciousness, and how they go together, that the more we stop involving ourselves in demoniac technology, I mean, uselessly engaging ourselves. Of course, it can be utilized, as Prabhupada said, for Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness. So that can be quite productive if it's utilized for spreading Krishna consciousness. Then it becomes spiritualized. But to play video games and to become enamored with technology, how we can watch, mostly it's utilized to watch all kinds of nonsense movies and to increase prajalpa. One time in the very beginning of the 70s, actually maybe it was the 60s, they had something called a fax machine. You know what a fax machine is? Primitive machine. So it wasn't a fax machine, it was called a telex machine. So they asked, the telex machine was kind of like a fax machine. You set it up in all the different temples, for instance, and you could put in one telex machine one thing and it would appear in all the temples. You know, like kind of like a fax machine, it would come out and print out whatever message you had to all the temples. So they asked Prabhupada, could we put telex machines in all the temples? And Prabhupada said, no, it's all nonsense technology, we don't need it. So what to speak of nowadays? I remember when I was first writing, before this, all this computers and technology, if I'd write 6 letters in a month, that was a lot, that was a big endeavor to write 6 letters. Now if I only have to write 50 letters in a day, it's considered a rather relaxed day. So this is called advancement. And how much has this increased anyone's happiness or peace? It's quite questionable. Now it's an overburden of an overwhelming amount of so-called information, but very little realization. A lot of information, but no realization. And therefore people are distressed and unhappy. And therefore our movement is meant to do 2 things, to show people ultimately how to live simply as we can live, and at the same time chant Hare Krishna, absorb our minds in Krishna consciousness, and experience the ecstasy of remembering Krishna, especially through the chanting of Hare Krishna. So of course for most people our lifestyle is quite simple. People cannot imagine sitting on the floor like we do, or spending our time in front of deities, dancing and chanting. People, what do these people do? How do they make their money? How do they survive? What are they doing? Why don't they do something productive? Like get a job in an arms factory and make bullets. Do something for society. So people will think that we're already quite simple, but gradually we could even become even more simple and more productive in some ways. But anyhow, our main business for now is to spread Krishna consciousness, and for whatever that takes, then we accept whatever energies are necessary to do that. But as the more it's focused strictly on Krishna consciousness, then the more we'll actually enjoy the results of a higher consciousness, and the more we can avoid the unwanted results of getting too much absorbed in technology and industrialization. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes, we have a question.
Hare Krishna, can you said summarize, Maharaj, what will be the sign of a like advanced civilization? What would be the symptoms so that when preaching we can kind of summarize it and go to the point?
There'll be Sarabi cows, Chintamani palaces, gopis and gopas herding the cows, making garlands and dancing and chanting and distributing prasadam and worshiping Krishna and his devotees. That's an advanced civilization. Everything else is kind of primitive, actually. Anything else? Vala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.